Welcome back into Upon Further Review. Time now for another Turn Left Thursday. Trevor Mader, Jacob Blair, talking all things going on in the racing world. And I can probably just go ahead and you know, disclose that if you want to listen to a longer version of Turn Left Thursday, it'll be in your Upon Further Review podcast, because I have a feeling we're going to go quite a while ranting, raving, probably crying a little bit about what we saw this past weekend. Jacob, first off, the 2025 season is in the books, and we have a Cup Series champion in Kyle Larson. I don't know where to start. The floor is yours, my friend.
I think the only place you can start is minus a Corey Heim generational restart, whatever you want to call it, in the truck race on Friday. This is about worst-case scenario weekend for NASCAR. We kind of assume we're expecting this is the last weekend, last championship that's going to be run under the current iteration of this playoff format. We don't know if it's going to change to a different version of the playoffs, go back to a 36 race season. I'm sure we'll get into all of that, but it's the last one where it's four drivers, best finish gets the championship, and it pretty much couldn't have gone worse for NASCAR over the course of the 3 days. Again, Corey Heim kind of saved the truck series a little bit with a incredible restart to save his championship, but then, you know, Connor Zilich, 10 wins, misses out on the championship in the Xfinity series, and then the Cup Series, just absolute utter heartbreak for Denny Hamlin, and really left the whole NASCAR community unsatisfied with the way the season ended. It didn't feel like a celebration of a whole year's worth of effort. It just kind of felt like, thank goodness it's finally over and we can get a break.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack from this weekend. Well, let's start with the truck series. We'll just kind of hit the lower series real quick. Corey Heim has this dominant season. I think he ended up winning 12 total races. You mentioned caution comes out late. He ends up restarting, I think, 7th or 8th, makes some daring moves, wins the race, wins the championship. The best driver won the championship. Not just the best driver, I mean, head and shoulders, the best driver wins the championship. Go to Saturday, Connor Zilich kind of had a similar season to Corey Heim. Maybe not quite as dominant, but had been the best driver all year, won like 10 races, and you know, looked like he was going to win the race, and his car kind of faded. Jesse Love had a really fast car. He ends up passing Connor, though, I think about 35 to go, wins the championship. I'm not saying Jesse Love didn't have a great season. He did. He was probably a top four guy throughout the year. Just tough to see somebody like Connor Zilich, who was as dominant as they were all year, not win the championship. And then Sunday, I mean, we could probably talk for an hour and a half about what we saw Sunday, right? You had Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, William Byron, all going for the championship. It appeared evident very early on. Denny Hamlin, William Byron had the best cars. Kyle Larson, Chase Briscoe had problems throughout the day. Of course, tire wear had become an issue throughout the day. There were many guys that suffered tire failures. And Denny Hamlin dominates. And when it's all said and done, the guy who kicked butt all day and was going to give us this walk-off, you know, game seven moment, it all gets wiped out.
Yeah, it's tough to swallow. You know, this format, for what it is, you know, you ask drivers to come with their best stuff for one race and should be rewarded for that. And Denny Hamlin, his team, they showed up with easily the fastest car. And it really wasn't close. Got the pole, incredible short run speed on that 11 car. The only weakness early on was it looked like, you know, long run was leaning towards the 24. And you generally get some long runs at Phoenix. And that first run, William Byron ends up getting the lead later, wins that first stage. Not that that really matters when it's all about the finish, but that was really early on. It looked to be a battle between William Byron and Kyle Larson. And then as the race progressed, tires became more and more and more of a story, where really, for some teams, set up 30, 40 laps was really all these tires were lasting, and then you just would have a rash of tires go down and eventually bring out a caution. So the long run really was kind of taken out of play. And that, when Denny Hamlin knew that and knew they didn't have to go, you know, 80 laps on a set of tires, they really were able to just take off and then manage from there. So Denny Hamlin easily had the best car. William Byron was a close second. You know, Kyle Larson was third, but really wasn't in play all day. And then Chase Briscoe, you never really found out what he had, because whatever setup they had on the car was just shredding tires. I think he ended up with three flat tires throughout the course of the race to just continue to set them back. So a great effort from Briscoe to at least stay in play throughout the day, but never really knew what he had. You know, but ultimately that last run, you know, Denny he ends up with a flat on his own. It sets him back middle of the race. He has to drive back up through the field, makes a pass on William Byron, and then just set sail and, you know, was three corners from taking the white flag. And then, you know, at least, you know, the caution that does come out is legitimate, as William Byron just trying to do anything he can, wears his tires out and blows one and hits the fence. So at least it was a legitimate caution, but then you just end up with a crapshoot of a green-white checker. We see it all the time in NASCAR, so it's nothing new. But just to decide a champion off of three guys staying out, six guys taking two tires, a bunch of guys taking four tires, and the luck of the restart, it just did not seem the right way to finish the weekend, especially with what you ask of these drivers. Denny Hamlin did exactly what he's supposed to do. It should have been his championship moment, and ultimately it just feels like it was taken from him.
It leads 208 laps. It's the most laps a championship four driver has ever led in you know, a race since the inception of this format back in 2014. So we're talking 11 races worth of sample size. And Jacob, I'll be honest, you know, I've been a avid Denny Hamlin supporter over the years, and I've made no secret about my desire to watch him win a championship. Man, just talking about it, you know, makes me angry. It makes me as bummed now as I was on Sunday, knowing like he's gonna do it. And then caution comes out with two to go, and restart gets crazy, and you know, the best driver all day gets denied the championship. Jacob, in no world is this the right way to decide a champion, is it?
No, and kind of what I you just try to come up with things to compare it to, or analogies to come up with, and the best thing I could come up with is, you know, the World Series just happened between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers, you know, a pretty epic game seven. That's what you had with NASCAR. But then, you know, bottom of the last inning, instead of those two teams playing it out, you throw the Royals out there and let them get in the way. That's what you're kind of doing with the way this race ended. And it's nothing against the other guys on the racetrack. They've got to do what's best for them, their teams, and their sponsors. But for three guys, you know, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Preece, to stay out, then you have a bunch of other guys take two tires. Denny Hamlin takes four tires, and now he's restarting 10th, and you just get a crapshoot of a restart. That's the way where it's you should decide a champion. You know, I felt like the champion was decided. Denny Hamlin won. He beat everybody. He did what he was supposed to. And just the way the sport works, it's not like other stick and ball sports, and you've created a stick and ball sport format. You know, we were all excited about what this could have been when it came out 11 years ago. And then as it, you know, continued to progress, you saw all the flaws in it. And then you kind of saw the biggest one here right at the end, where a late race caution and the chaos of these green, white checkered restarts can really just spoil anybody's day. We see it throughout the regular season. It's no different, but it's one race to decide a champion. And, you know, essentially you're letting Brad Keselowski and Ryan Preece, no offense to them, really play a massive role in who walks away as a champion.
The one thing I don't like with this either, Jacob, and I know we've talked a lot about our feelings about the playoff format and how, you know, it coming down to one race in itself is not the best way to decide it, and I still stand by that. I think at least if you look at the course of the previous, I guess it would have been 11 championship races from 2014 to 2024, you could probably make an argument, with the exception of like 2016 when Jimmy Johnson won after Carl Edwards wrecked, that the guy who won the championship was the best driver on that day. And to kind of go back to the stick and ball sport thing, you know, the best team doesn't always win in those sports, right? But it is the team that gets hot at the right time. It is the team that is the best on that day. Denny Hamlin was head and shoulders the best driver in Phoenix on Sunday among the championship four. The fact that he did not win the championship is an absolute, you know, one, it's sad, and we're going to dive into that in a moment, but, you know, it's a travesty. It's a black eye on the sport. You know, if we want to have these game seven moments, that's fine, I guess. But, you know, a guy who leads zero laps all race and was at best the third best playoff car all year, or all, not all year, but all race, lucked into a championship. Don't get me wrong, Kyle Larson had a season that was more than deserving of winning a championship, and in just about any format, he would have won it. But that's not the argument I'm making. That's not the point I'm trying to make. It's that if we're going to have this format, if it all comes down to one day and everything going right, I mean, what are we doing?
I don't think anybody knows, and I think that's why it's ultimately going away. If you're a proponent of the 36 race format, I think you got a big win out of this. We'll just put it that way, because that seems to be the sentiment after that. And as you mentioned, the really weird part of this is, one, I don't feel like you should have a championship format or a championship that lends to the fact that, one, we've spent, 10 minutes already talking, and we've barely mentioned the champion himself, Kyle Larson. Also, we talk about how much winning races matter, and we haven't even talked about who ended up winning the race, how that ended up happening. No one cares.
And I'll be honest, Jacob, I did not know Ryan Blaney won the race until probably 20 or 30 minutes after that. One, I was kind of mad.
And, there's nothing really Lee Diffie can do about it, but he didn't even call the winner of the race. He called Kyle Larson to the line as a champion. So you didn't know that there was a last lap pass. Brad Keselowski probably should have won the race. He misses the corner on the last lap. Ryan Blaney sneaks by, wins the race. That doesn't matter. No one cares. And then you just get this really awkward, weird moment where all of the attention is on Denny Hamlin. And although Kyle Larson wins the championship, you get his interview, and it's a little awkward because he even, I didn't lead a lap today. We weren't really that good, and now we're champions. And it was unsatisfying, and you don't want that when you get to the end of the season. And even if you don't have an incredible, sometimes in other sports, you have a series, a best of seven series, and it's over in four games. But at least it's a satisfying ending in the sense of, the best team won. You just didn't get that. I hate to make this comparison, but it just, the mood, the feeling from the racetrack, it had the same feeling of an event where you leave the racetrack after a big crash and you don't know if that driver's okay. It's a weird comparison, but it had that same feel. And that's just not what you want, when you have your championship race and your season's over, where everyone's just that dejected in the way it ended.
Yeah. And, I guess I don't even really 100% know where I want to go with this, other than, let me put it this way. I've been watching the sport for a long time, going on 20 plus years now. And I'm not saying I watch every race. I have a life. There's times I don't watch races. Last Sunday left me so upset with just how everything shook out, and maybe just mad and angry, that if there were a race this Sunday, Jacob, depending on where it was, I don't know that I would be that thrilled or entertain the idea of watching it. And I know I'm not alone when it comes to that.
I think a lot of fans right now, they're angry, and I think they're in the same place where if there's a race next weekend, I think a lot of people would not be watching. I think this off season right now, it's a decision point for NASCAR. You've got to make the right move with the playoff format. You've got to build some sort of excitement back up. I'm maybe not quite where you are, but I'm kind of glad that I don't have to think about watching a race this weekend, that it's over and we've got a break. We can kind of forget about NASCAR for a while and maybe regroup come February for the Daytona 500. Normally we start a countdown, right? It's like 90 days or whatever it is, very short off season. I'm not even thinking about that right now. Really don't care. We'll go, enjoy some football and maybe come back to NASCAR a little bit later. And I think that's a lot of people's feeling right now. And that's not what you want as a sport. You want people to be, the season ended. I wish there was a race next weekend. And it doesn't, whether from its inside the industry fans, it doesn't feel like anybody wants a race next week. And it just feels like everybody's ready for a break.
And the sad part about it too, Jacob, is you look at the championship four coming in on paper, all four of them had a legitimate argument to win the title, if things go their way on a given day. And the race itself was as entertaining of a race at Phoenix that we've seen in a long, long time. But I think it's just, you watch a guy like Denny Hamlin, who I know is a polarizing guy. I think he's maybe a little more popular than we think or than we get a grasp of. Guy who's been at it for 20 years. And, this was, I'm trying to give a good example here. This is Alexander Ovechkin finally winning the Stanley Cup, something like that. He's right there. He's on the cusp of being able to do it, and he gets it snatched away in a heartbreaking fashion. Jacob, in my opinion, this is the most heartbreaking defeat or shortcoming in the history of NASCAR, and I don't know if there's a close second.
I can't, you know, think of anything, at least in my lifetime, that comes close. And even, you know, going throughout history, you know, you kind of posed this question to me earlier. I'm like, the only thing that I can think of that even comes remotely close is some of the defeats in the Indy 500. And that's just a race, not a championship. And we know how much that means. But from the sheer devastation kind of written all over Denny's face as they would cut to him in the broadcast, you don't get that anywhere else but maybe Indy. And that kind of, it was a tough watching, you know, Denny have to process that quickly and then immediately, you know, go do interviews and try to explain what was going on while he's essentially in shock. So, you know, kudos to him for the way he's handled this. I think a lot of us probably wouldn't have handled this quite as well. But from a, you know, heartbreak standpoint, this is, you know, one of the biggest heartbreak moments probably in all of motorsports history across any discipline across the world.
Yeah, Carl Edwards in 2016, maybe close. Although I will say, like, you know, he wrecks with Joey Logano. Carl did kind of do it to himself there, trying to, you know, block Logano into oblivion. Davey Allison in 1992, you know, the wreck at Atlanta. He had also had some inconsistency and again kind of put himself in that spot. I mean, Denny Hamlin had done everything right, and it comes down to a stupid green-white checkered and, you know, out of his control and ends up losing a championship. And Jacob, I know we've talked a long time, you know, is this going to be the year Denny Hamlin's going to do this? Is this going to be the year? And I think every year we say, yeah, it looks like it. I'll be honest, man, I know he hasn't even committed to racing full-time in 2026, but I'm going to have a hard time next year if he does. I don't care how many races he wins, I'm going to have a hard time convincing myself that this is finally the year, and until it finally is.
Well, and I think that at this point now, this was the year. You know, he in all, for all practical purposes, he did what he needed to do, and he won the championship. And he just is, unfortunately, throughout the different iterations of the chase, playoffs, he's never put it all together. Well, he did this year, and it still wasn't enough for, you know, whatever reason, green, white, checkered. This is, you know, I'm kind of in the same place, but in the sense that, you know, his age, we know that there's a cliff that he's headed towards. We don't quite know when it'll hit, but we know it's coming. We've seen it with everybody. Is that next year? My bigger concern is we saw what this did to Carl Edwards, who just up and quit after what happened at Homestead. We've seen, you know, what happens to athletes in a sense when something like this happens. I think we see Denny next year. I don't think he's going to pull a Carl per se and not show up to Daytona. But I don't know if we see the same Denny Hamlin. I don't know if he comes back with the same intensity. I think this probably is going to take a lot out of him. It's going to be a long off season. You know, there's some off the track stuff he's still got to deal with his ownership side of things. I don't know if we see, you know, that 100% effort towards his craft, Denny Hamlin, and we start seeing that decline. I hate to say that, but just a defeat like this, it's tough to come back from.
And it sucks, man, because we were, you know, 40 seconds away from what I think would have been an iconic moment in NASCAR history. You know, sans Dale Earnhardt finally winning the Daytona 500 or Jimmy Johnson's seventh title. I mean, this was going to be kind of an all-time moment in storyline. And, you know, we get it snatched away because, you know, NASCAR is about chasing the drama and the entertainment and trying to chase a fan base that, quite frankly, they were never going to get. And, Jacob, I guess kind of shifting gears here a little bit, you know, for the longest time, you know, I like to think you and I are more of that new age NASCAR fan, right? You know, it's no secret the NASCAR fan base is kind of an older demographic. They didn't maybe quite latch on to the younger demographic the way they would have hoped 15, 20 years ago. I've enjoyed a lot of things that NASCAR has done differently. Stage racing, there was a time where I loved the playoffs, but man, like seeing what we saw on Sunday and kind of what we've seen the last couple of years with some of the directions NASCAR is going, kind of back to my point earlier, I'll be honest, if I got into falling in love with NASCAR when it was in its prime. Right now, if I was 10, 12, 14 years old, what is there to like? And the stupid thing is those are, you know, NASCAR is trying to chase these new fans, and in all reality, they're just probably not getting them.
Well, we know. I think at this point, we know they're not getting them. The TV numbers keep dropping, you know, from a state of the sport. it doesn't look good right now. You've got all of your fans that are still watching, angry, upset, mad at the outcome of the season, have been calling for change. They don't like this car. They don't like this format. When the fans are this noisy, that's not bringing in new fans either. When someone joins in on the sport and then they, you know, see all of the current fans and how upset they are. So those fans are leaving. You're not getting really any new fans. It's at this point, you know, unfortunately, but maybe fortunately, it's time for a full rethink of the strategy. If the idea going into the offseason was, hey, we can maybe adjust the playoff format, kind of keep a little bit of what we have, but maybe, you know, there's been a lot of the 3-3-4, you know, kind of being thrown out there that's what they're headed. I think that you almost got to start over again, but you only got about a month and a half to do so before you need to announce something. But you kind of got to go back to the drawing board, rethink your whole strategy here to recapture your, you know, hardcore fans, your fans that want NASCAR to succeed. You got to recapture those fans first at this point, I feel like. And, you know, if that's going back to a 36 race format, I think everyone's craving a little bit of legitimacy. You know, everything, as you mentioned, it's gimmicky, it's dramatic, which, you know, in July for one race might be fun, but to determine a champion, I think everybody's craving a little bit of legitimacy. So I don't know. I think the 36 race championship format might be the leading candidate right now, just for that reason. And everyone wanting, you know, a little bit of seriousness back in the sport.
Yeah, NASCAR for so long tried really, really hard to get new fans. Hence, we got the playoffs. Hence, we got stage racing, you know, and some of the other changes that have gone with it. And in turn, they pushed some of the, you know, the tried and true fans away. Is NASCAR dying? I wouldn't say it's dying. If it's dying, I think you can make the argument that every sport, with the exception of, like, maybe the NFL is not dying, and then maybe the NBA, you know, those aren't dying. But it's definitely, you know, this is not the sport that I grew in love with 15, 20, 25 years ago. I also don't know that I'll ever get to that point. I'm not saying I expect to get to that point, but, like, I've never been just so mad, pissed off, I don't know the right adjective, about, you know, a NASCAR season and when it ends. Like you said earlier, usually when it ends, I'm like, all right, Daytona's in 8 weeks or whatever. Now I'm like, I'll watch it, and I'm sure by the time it rolls around, I'll be excited, but I need a break from it. Jacob, let's talk playoff format now. It's no secret there's going to be a change. This win and in garbage is going to be gone. You know, maybe not the win and in, but this one race championship garbage is going to be gone. It's going to be one of three things. You're either going to see some sort of old chase format like we saw from 2004 to 2013. We don't know what. You're going to see maybe a multi-round championship. So basically, you race up to like the final three races, and then the top four that make it, then they race kind of a three-race championship series to determine the champion, or you're going to see the traditional 36-race format. Before we dive into what we think they're going to do, you're in charge of NASCAR. What are you doing?
That's such a difficult question, because it's a question of what do I think NASCAR is going to do, or what would I do? At this point, I'm going back to a 36-race format. If I'm in charge of NASCAR, we're going to a full-season format. I think for racing, you look at every other series in the world, they're all full season formats. Racing is different than other sports. It's not 1v1. It's, in NASCAR sense, it's 1v39, it's 1v40. And you know, you don't have win-loss records. I think you have to look at it in that sense. Is the win you're in is kind of that idea of win and loss records. Well, what do we consider losing? Is third in 36 the same caliber of loss? And that's why points have always existed in motorsports. That's why there's been different points formats, but it's always been an accumulation of the season. So I think going back to a full season points format, that's what I would do at this point. And I would probably, you know, we're not going back to the Winston Cup, you know, style points where none of it made any sense unless you really dove into it. You 1 point per position. And then I think, you know, one of Denny Hamlin's ideas is you kind of give a big bump to the winner. So you still make winning matter. They get a little bit of a bump, but then points matter, and then you just accumulate them through the season. And I think, you know, where the sport's at right now, there's so many, at least three teams, Penske, Hendrick, Gibbs, that I don't think anyone in Cup will necessarily run off and hide with it. I think it'll get down at least to the last two races, if not the last race. But I think right now it needs to go back to a full season format, and that's what I would do.
I will say I'm coming around more to the idea of a 36-race format. 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said, no way in the world do I want that. You know, because the argument to it is sometimes you get guys that dominate the season, and then you get to the final 3 or 4 races of the year, and you know there's no drama, there's no storylines, you know, and it's okay, this guy is a champion, and we know it, and is that going to hurt ratings? Well, as we've seen, I mean, I don't know that that's going to hurt the ratings any more than what the ratings are right now, because the people that are going to want to watch are still going to watch. So if a guy dominates and has a great season and clinches a championship 3 or 4 weeks early, well, good for him. He earned it. I think in today's day and age, I think that'd be a little tougher to do than maybe what it was under, one, the old point system, and, you know, in the 80s and 90s when, to be honest, there weren't as many competitive cars that could go out and win on a weekly basis. I'm in favor of some sort of chase, kind of like what we saw from 2004 to 2013. I actually think the 2011 to 2013 format was probably my favorite. Top 10 in points, then you take the top two that weren't, top two from like 11th through 20th with either multiple wins or points. Basically, have two wild cards, so to speak, and that is your 12. You have 12 drivers in a 10-race chase, and that decides it. And you know, if you want to give out a bunch of playoff points, you know, kind of like we do now, and keep the stages incentivized winning, that's even better. Because to me, Jacob, when I think of like iconic, you know, game 7 moments for NASCAR, so to speak, I'll be honest, of the championship races until this one, I can't really think of anything where I was like, you remember that? But you know what I do remember? Tony Stewart in 2011 winning 5 of the 10 chase races, to you know, miraculously come back and beat Carl Edwards in tiebreaker for the title. You know, I remember Jimmy Johnson being like 200 and some points down in 2006 and finding a way to win the title. If we're going to go to some sort of format where we want that game 7 moment, it's the chase. And who knew that was the right thing all along?
Yeah, I think that one thing that, regardless of the format that's chosen, that has to matter is we can't have races not matter. And I think that's another issue right now at the current format is we'll go back to Martinsville. Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe blow their engines. It's a non-story because they won the 2 weeks prior and were already in the championship 4. That is a massive story. And maybe, you know, you could play the what-if game. They don't blow engines if they matter. But that's a massive story that is in play. It's not that the storylines will be different. It's that the storylines will not be playoffs. It'll be about what the drivers are doing in those particular races, good and or bad. You know, we can talk about Denny Hamlin and some of the other things that can happen. You know, go back to the chase and you know, he had it all but locked up and then has two really bad races to end the season. And I think it was one of Jimmy Johnson's wins that he came back and kind of stole. You get those storylines over the course of multiple races. And yes, you might get to the last race and it's, oh, you know, Kyle Larson has to finish 22nd or better. But I think right now fans would appreciate the story race over race than just getting to the end and saying, well, good luck with whatever happens here in this last race. So I'm fine whether it's the chase format or a 36 race format. I just, at this point, I think I'd like to get rid of the round eliminations on these small sample sizes. I don't want to see a 3-3-4 like what's kind of been thrown out there in terms of, you know, number of races or a 3-race championship to end the season. You know, it's, as mentioned, it's racing. There's 40 drivers on the racetrack. There's things that are out of drivers' controls. There's things that are out of teams' controls. There's too much going on for small sample sizes. That's why you've always had the bigger sample sizes. And you know, this year, trucks and Xfinity would have been over. I think Corey Heim probably would have had it locked up 4 races early. But you can look at the greatest season in Truck Series history and say, you know what, that makes sense. That's okay. You just watched Corey Heim, you know, produce one of the greatest Truck Series seasons ever. You can understand him locking it up 4 races early. I think you need to, I think maybe to understand the NASCAR fans can appreciate someone locking it up early because of what they did over the course of the season rather than what we saw on Sunday.
I will take that tenfold. If Kyle Larson, you know, wraps the championship up with 5 races to go, you know, or anybody, I'd rather have that over. And not just because it was Denny Hamlin. You know, any driver who leads 210, leads, you know, 60%, 70% of the championship race and doesn't win the championship, I would take that. It's going to be interesting. You know, they're going to have to make a decision at some point. I would imagine it's going to be in the next month or so. What they're going to do, I think we're going to go to a multi-race championship round. I think NASCAR loves the elimination. They love the drama of winning in. We haven't even dove into that. We don't have time for that now. I think we've gone long enough. I think they're going to go to some sort of that. If I were in charge, again, top 10 in points, you're automatically in. Take two wild cards. You give some sort of crazy points boost for winning races. And then, you know, at the 26 races, you give kind of like the playoff points you have now. And maybe the regular season champion gets 50 points. Second place gets 25. Third gets 15. And you make it like a true chase. You say, okay, congrats, William Byron. You were the regular season champion. You now have a 65-point lead over the next 10 races. Good luck, everybody else, trying to catch him. One, that could create drama, too, because if William Byron has one bad race, all of a sudden he's lost that massive cushion. I will say, though, with the 36-race format, you know, there were times in the format where, you know, say a driver ends up falling short by 25 or 30 points, you could look at, you know, that New Hampshire race in July and go, well, that's what did him in when he, you know, blew a motor running third with 15 to go. You know, Mark Martin had a disqualification in the third race of the year that, you know, I think it was a 50-point disqualification. He lost the title by 30 points. That was the difference right there. You know, the whole body of work mattered, and that's got to mean something. Otherwise, let's just, you know, as Landon Castle said, let's just not have a season. Let's all go to Phoenix or Martinsville or some road course, and we'll have a two-lap green-white checkered, and whoever wins the race is your champion.
That's essentially what it felt like, you know, at the end of the race. That's what we did. We ran, you know, thousands of miles over the course of the season and then said, you know what, none of that matters. Pick your tire option. You can take old tires, two tires, or brand new tires. We're going to run two laps. Good luck. And determine a champion. So something's got to change. I think we're all confident that, you know, and NASCAR has all but said it's changing. We don't know what that change is. And hopefully the right decision's made over the course of the next couple months here.
Yeah, we'll get a decision sometime, I'd imagine, before Christmas. And I'm thinking when they do, if Jacob and I can line it up to our schedules, you know, we're always looking for content here and upon further review. We'll hop back on and kind of dive into our thoughts on whatever that format may be. Jacob, not to just totally, I guess, bitch and moan the whole time, but, you know, let's reflect a little bit on the season. You know, Kyle Larson wins the championship. It's the second of his career. It puts him on a pedestal that not many people can say they're on, being a multi-time champion, and he's obviously very well-deserving. He should have won the championship anyway. When you look back, take Sunday out of the equation. When you look back on this 2025 season, what are you going to remember? What are kind of your thoughts and feelings on it?
Yeah, I think that it was a season that definitely did have its ups and downs. You know, the summer stretch was pretty rough in terms of, you know, what we saw racing-wise, but I think they made good strides with this car. That can go into next year with some tires. We know they're getting more horsepower, but I think, you know, the mile and a half's really stuck out. You did get some really good races. You know, just like any season, you get some bad races, you get some good races, but, you know, ultimately, and I think, you know, not to go back to talking about the championship format, but the format dominated what everyone's talking about. It's always about locking into the playoffs. It's all about moving to the next round. And maybe that doesn't allow us to appreciate when, you know, you get a really good race at, say, Kansas or Charlotte, or, you know, what we saw at Las Vegas with Denny Hamlin's drive there just to you know, make the championship four. I think we saw some really good individual efforts from drivers over the course of the season. And you know, ultimately, you know, we kind of talked about it. It's weird. It created a weird environment where the driver that really probably put together the best season that in almost any format you come up with probably wins the championship. We're unsatisfied with that, even though that's what we've been arguing we want. It just created a really weird deal. But I think, you know, when we get out of the immediate reaction from this and we look back on it in, say, a month, we'll go, you know what, that did suck for Denny Hamlin, but ultimately, when we look back on this season, the best driver over the course of the entire season, consistency wise, probably ended up winning the championship, which, you know, 10 years down the road will look better than it feels right now.
That's what I kept telling myself as I was wanting to throw things at the TV on Sunday, and maybe a year from now, if Denny Hamlin's holding the championship trophy in Homestead, that's what we'll be telling ourselves. Jacob, let's end this with some superlatives or whatever you want to call them, and we'll start with most surprising driver in 2025.
You know, I think for me, I might go Bubba Wallace in the sense that he got a win. And then, you know, I know he got knocked out of the playoffs early, but you know, he put together a good point season, was in play, you know, ran consistently through the playoffs, was in play for a couple races after he got knocked out. I think he put together a really solid season that puts him kind of closer to the top 10 list of drivers. And if he can improve on that next year, might end up in a really good position.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great year. I'm going to go Ryan Preece just because, you know, he got thrown into a unique situation. You know, Stuart Haas Racing had closed. He hadn't shown a lot of consistency there, you know, and he gets an opportunity at RFK. And I've always been high on Ryan Preece, the race car driver. But I know there was people out there like, really? You're going to build a third team and you're going to build it with that guy? You know, he had speed throughout the year, probably should have won. At Talladega, got DQ'd, probably could have won at Daytona if there wasn't some gamesmanship going on with Chevy. Had a fast car different times throughout the year, and under, you know, an old format, might have been in contention to make the playoffs. There were just too many, you know, out of the blue winners that ended up, you know, getting wins. I think you can make an argument SVG as well, because I don't know that many people saw him coming in winning five of the six road course races. I thought for sure he'd get one or two. But I'm going Ryan Preece on the other side of the track. The most disappointing driver is who?
I think this one maybe is a little bit easier. For me, it's Tyler Reddick. You know, it wasn't the worst season in the world, but no wins, only seven top fives, 14 top tens. You know, after being a regular season champion a year ago, winning races, being in play and maybe a favorite for the championship, just never really got there this year. I know that team had some distractions with everything going on with 2311's lawsuit with NASCAR, but, you know, that didn't seem to necessarily, at least from the 23 car, didn't affect on track performance. But for me, it's definitely Tyler Reddick. I think you expected him to make another leap towards being maybe a top five driver, and really took a step back this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I might have even had Tyler Reddick in my championship four to start the year. So I thought about that, but also, like, he was still a top 10 guy, you know, throughout the year. So it's hard for me to go that route, although I considered it. I also thought about Brad Keselowski, but, like, they had speed at different times. Just had the worst luck I've ever seen. I got to go with Ty Gibbs, because I'll be honest, like, coming into this year, I thought this was the Ty Gibbs breakout year. I thought we were going to see multiple Ty Gibbs wins. I thought he was going to maybe be somebody that could put together kind of a year like Chase Briscoe did, where he could be in contention when it was all said and done. I know they had some bad luck early. He showed some speed a couple different times, was really fast at Bristol, but he didn't take that step forward that, in all honesty, if any other, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing driver going into now year four at Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, didn't make, aside from the one whose name is on the team, you know, he would probably be on the hot seat. But obviously he's not, because his grandpa owns the team, and, you know, he's going to be there and get as much time as he needs. All right, Jacob, last one. The most entertaining race of the year was what?
That's a tough one. There's a lot to choose from. In terms of entertaining, I almost go back and look at, you know, spring Bristol with this year with all the tire wear issues.
That would have been last year. Spring Bristol this year.
Last year. Was it Fall Bristol?
Fall Bristol. That came back. Yeah, Fall Bristol was really entertaining.
I think Fall Bristol, they all blend together, but I think Fall Bristol, for me, it was one of the Bristol races. It was really good. And then I keep going back to Las Vegas, just because, you know, Denny Hamlin and getting that win and the way he did so, it kind of was a really impressive last run. I maybe overall wasn't the race of the year, but just that last run, maybe that's a little bit of recency, but those two are the ones that really stuck out to me.
To me, there's four that really come to mind. You mentioned Fall Bristol. That is up there. The Coca-Cola 600. I know William Byron led a lot of that race, but that was a very entertaining race. It was the debut of Amazon Prime as well, and their coverage, which knocked it out of the park. You had Ross Chastain kind of grinding his way to a win. I thought that was phenomenal. I'm always a little partial to Kansas Speedway. I was at that fall race where Toyota totally botched an opportunity to win, and Chase Elliott snookered them. You know, the race was a fine race. It was not the greatest race ever, but it was your textbook Kansas race of good racing and then a great finish. That is up there. To me, the most entertaining race was the summer Atlanta race. You know, Chase Elliott wins it. It was a drafting track race where handling mattered, tire wear mattered. You had to kind of work to have runs, and it created a super exciting race from start to finish. And You know, I would take five more races over Atlanta over, you know, either Daytona or Talladega. Summer Daytona was also entertaining as well. But all in all, I mean, you know, there were some really good races this year. Not doubting that. It's just, you know, the way that it ended, hard to be super excited about anything. That's it for Turn Left Thursday. We will win slash if NASCAR ever drops a new points format. We will try to kind of get back together and kind of give our thoughts on that and talk about that. But Turn Left Thursday, upon further review,